I would like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission, Monday, September 30th, 2013, to order. And I'd like to call on Chuck Bunnell to offer an opening prayer.
Father, we bow before you. Give you our attention, Lord, that this meeting has started. We pray, Father, that you would guide and direct each word, each thought, each decision. We thank you for the governments you made us a part of, God, and pray that to each one that serve them would have a good heart to serve you first and then those that we're working with. In Christ's name.
Mr. Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentlemen, are there any commission remarks before we begin with today's agenda? First order of business, accounts payable. On two forms. Dan, if you'll add to that one, it does not say on this form that it's handwritten up here. First, we have a transfer from GCR. If you'll write that in for me down there, Dan. There, you got it. To the assessment, which is included in this package. We have a warrant regarding training within one of the departments. It's for a deputy. It was, in fact, not approved by the county auditor. We can step up and ask him to approve that, and it would take a vote of us to do that, or, in fact, have discussions with the elected official to talk about the need for this particular training, which is outside the limits of the budget. Right. What are you guys' thoughts on this?
Is the training already taken place, Ron?
No. There has been training for the coroner, which was at the beginning of the year. I have a copy of that here that I asked for. On the other hand, this is for an assistant. And the training is, actually, we probably do need to make a decision. It's October 1, 2, and 3. So this is this week. There's also a late fee attached to this because it was not submitted timely, $100.
In the budget line, I guess Rick would take that out of what we have presented as other on the training line.
Well, the training line has X amount in it, and we've already spent considerably more than that on training within this budget.
I know, but if we decided to put, because there is a question about it. Yes, sir.
Your question is, are there other available funds within the budget to pay this? My answer is no. There are enough funds to almost make budget at the end of the year, and the problem is, and why we're over budget, we budgeted $20,000 for autopsies. We've spent over $28,000. So the reason that the budget again is over is because we've had more deaths in the county than we had planned for, which is real unusual to have this amount, but we have had in 2013. So that's something that obviously we're required to go ahead and pick up. And it's not the fault of the elected official, at least in my opinion, for being at this position within the budget. Now, there is a provision in Missouri law that requires the coroner to take training, but there's also a provision that says a deputy must have the training as well. And so, well, as I understand it,
that's my main reason behind this is because I thought that we had already approved in our budget line for the coroner. As I reviewed this, we had in it $1,200 or $800 deputy's fee, but I thought we'd already used that on another deputy training. Am I correct with that, or are you sure?
No, I think you're correct.
Should, I mean, we're down to the date of the training on this. I would have liked to have spoke to Kevin about this before approving it.
Well, I had staff who have emailed back and forth with him about it, and
if there's any provision to pay this, I'm willing to look at it, but if there's no no way through his regular budget because he's already over budget on the autopsies, then...
And because of that line item, at the end of the year, his budget will be over budget.
Right.
Yes. But we have the ability, because it falls within GCR, which is a melting pot of many departments, to allow one office to go slightly over while another is under. And overall, we're going to be within those limits.
We'll be fine within those
yes.
limits.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we go ahead and pay this with the... before discussion, because we have a time frame, if I understand right, that would be tomorrow. The training would start tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir. I believe it's included in our, I think it is.
What number is it?
It's within the.
Is it?
So it's within the package. It was in the box, so it's already listed.
With it, and Rick just posted a note on it that was concern.
Well, he had denied it, and it's again in front of us. So it's up to the commission to make the decision. Rick did what Rick was supposed to do.
Well, if it's a statute or a law that the deputy has to be paid from it, that's what I'm basing my decision on.
Are you making a motion to approve accounts payable with the transfer that's included?
With both transfers.
Do we need to add a transfer?
Add the transfer on that.
Do we need to transfer money into the coroner? Because it comes out of GCR?
No, because it's out of GCR, his individual budget line will go over and the others will be... It's okay.
Okay.
Want to make the motion, then we can discuss the motion.
I suppose that's what I did there. I said I made a motion for.
Let me get you to include the check numbers, the warrant numbers, and the transfer, if you would.
I will. if you'll give me time to get my...
Specs up?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say anything this time.
You wasn't?
No, I'll keep my mouth shut over here.
Okay, good. 3369.71 through 3369.81 and warrants 5843, 5844, and 5845, and a transfer from GCR to the assessor's fund, which I want to ask a question or two about.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve checks number 336-895 through 336-981. Warrants 5843, 5844, and 5845, and a transfer from general county revenue to assessment fund. Dan.
On this transfer, Chuck, that we had on the assessor's fund, is there been any success, because we've seen part of the state tax commission in and out of the courthouse down, and I think you've had a meeting or two with them. And, has there been any success in the funding response that you mentioned before, that you thought that we possibly could get the money?
Had some discussion about it as the meeting you're talking about. I think that was week before last. Had all week with Bob Epperson and Jim Kyle, and discussed the funding. The sense I've got from Bob was we wouldn't see it this year. And I made a little comment about thought I was working. Made comment that I felt like I was working with them. As we talked last time, the first meeting I had with Jim Kyle, it was suggested we needed to go right out to reassessment, and was discussion about adding another two-person crew, and we're doing that. By the way, tried to send you all an email, but I don't think I got it out sent out right. Thank you for providing.
Did you push send?
Yeah, that's what I did. But I went to send, and it wasn't there, so I don't know what happened. But anyway, I do appreciate you loaning the Jeep, and Don is loaning us her van. And anyway, that's worked out well, and Linda and Sheila have been going out and doing that. Anyway, bottom line was I made a plug that, hey, I feel like I'm trying to work with what you feel like we need to do, and making a plug for our money. And I didn't sense that went anywhere necessarily. But anyway, the bottom line was that what I received was we probably wouldn't see it until next year, if we should receive it. I mean, they didn't make any commitments. So... the other comment that was made, as you're probably aware, their physical year starts July 1. We're not losing that money, as we've been through in the process before, you know, where you go, the money previous to July 1 is gone, that we could, the reimbursements, that's history. But next year, hopefully we'll get that money, and it'll go back, and then if they're happy with us, we'll keep getting it. So we could get as much as 200 and some thousand next year, because we're going to be getting this year's money, or half of this year's money plus next year's money. They commented, maybe giving you more than you wanted here, holler if you want me to stop. They mentioned the parcel count, and it came up to like 122,000 is our maximum amount that we can get. And that was before they upped up, the governor gave it back the 12 cents that makes it $3 a parcel. So it'll be a little more than 122. But I put in my budget 160, looking at other budgets, previous budgets, when reimbursements were more. So on a yearly basis, we won't be getting as much, even if we get it all. Did any of that make sense?
Well, let me ask a couple questions about it. I hear what you're saying. But first, a statement. We're transferring $40,000 today, and we're doing that based upon the fact that you need money to operate. And the county commission at budget time put those dollars in general county revenue aside for that instance in case the state tax commission chose not to reimburse the county for their share of assessment, which is required under Missouri law. And is required under the two-year plan that we signed, but they chose not to do so. They've done that also in the past. And they did it a couple of decades ago to Taney County as well, as I remember. But I know that they've been down here, and I know that they have been championing assessments or changes within the assessment process. I mean, they're here for a reason. So my real question is, if in fact they feel that we're doing what they're asking us to do, I would like to see them pay on a quarterly basis like the law provides, which for July, August, September would be now for that quarter. But it sounds like they're saying that they're not going to do that. Because the end result to get where they want to be before they will put more money in is going to result in an increase. To a number of folks, I think. I wonder.
You mean an increase in valuation, is that what you're talking about?
Increase in taxes that people pay.
Right, which ends up in taxes. If I may speak to that.
Yeah, I'm just talking out loud here, or thinking out loud.
The communication to that issue is, they said, we've got a level of properties that are here, as far as value, indicating at value or maybe even above value. Then we got another group of properties that are down here that are not value, which is what they've argued, I think, for years. And they want to see it equal. And I think I take them to be genuine in that. They're not looking for increase in valuation, or unless it's too low, and in some cases they're too high, they think. So I don't believe their goal is to bring in more taxes. I think their goal is that we're equal. And the process of getting there is most complicated, as you all understand. And they've talked about different index. We're in the process. The biggest thing that was discussed 2 weeks ago was the way we grade properties. We've got A through F as far as the grade of properties, and they felt like we were grading them too high. And then we were adding points on in order to get them up to value, and they don't think that's the right way to do it. I think they ought to be graded a certain way, and we've gone through that, and we're in the process of doing that. And I did not argue that with them, that part of it, but I mean, it's evident that I think they're right, that we were too high in the way we were grading them, and we're working at correcting that. Why they want to wait till after the first of the year, I didn't get into a big argument with them about it. I just made a pitch that, hey, I feel like from my position, we're trying to work towards getting what we need to do done, and I appreciate you turning the money loose. That's a comment.
I don't think you're going to find, I do this all too often, I speak for everybody up here, and I shouldn't. You're not going to find me and putting you in a position of where we're not going to fund the office so that you don't have a staff. I'm going to vote to pass those dollars through. And our argument, if that's what it's going to be, our disagreements with the State Tax Commission will be what they are. I mean, we'll have to try to iron that out, and I understand you're trying to do that. My concern was, when I sat down with them a couple of years ago, they wanted us, in a number of instances, to lower classifications on certain properties. Then they wanted the index to be raised. And when the index is raised, then you look at the average homeowner across the county, of which there are thousands, who, because their index is raised and their classification wasn't lowered, their taxes are going to go up. And while the State Tax Commission calls that equality, what it really is the old homeowners and the people who have the lower value properties, taxes are going to raise. I think that was the argument in the past from the prior assessor. I just have a concern about that, especially if they're going to get the county to make those decisions and then not send in their share of the dollars for the assessment fund. That's a real... I just ask you to keep an eye on those guys.
I don't think any of us want to see anybody have to pay more taxes, period. But the issue is... Their issue is, and if they're correct, most people want to be treated fairly. And if you're in this higher level, paying your valued amount, and the other guy's down here and he's only paying 3/4 of his valued amount, this guy up here is not being treated fairly. And I don't want to see these guys down here on the 75%, just using that for a number, have to pay more taxes. Nobody does, I don't think. But if they're getting, somebody used the term, a sweetheart deal, the guy up here that's paying a fair, on his fair market value, he's getting the shaft. Saying it's kind of hard there, but that's really what it amounts to. And I think everybody'd like to have a sweetheart deal, sure, but in order to do that, somebody else is going to have to pay on a higher value. So that's where they're coming from.
No, I think you stated it well.
And
we don't have
that's
to.
That's my responsibility, is to find fair market value, and it's not easy to do.
We don't have to agree on what the State Tax Commission wants. I've sat through those State Tax Commission meetings when the commission was involved and Chuck was involved, and we were all up there, and at that point they had wanted an increased value on older homes without any depreciation and raising the index to do so. And all of the older homes that they want to raise up was a judgment call by the former assessor, and I have to say that I agree with him that a person living in an older farmhouse shouldn't have to pay increased taxes on because they want to raise the index, the difference between someone living in a $500,000 home and paying taxes, what they felt was too high, and the increase in the taxes on the older homes, which was their argument at one time, which they've changed their argument 2 or 3 different times, as I've said as commissioner here and been involved in the process that we went through. So... Not everyone has to agree. I appreciate the fact that everybody's trying to work together to get it to a certain level to reach a conclusion, but I don't want to see, I'm just like, as Chuck mentioned, I'm not wanting to see anybody's taxes raised if we can keep from doing so.
Is there any more discussion on the motion on the floor? Did you have anything else to say, Chuck? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir. Court orders. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you today?
Good.
That's okay. Thank you. You have different sets, correct? I do have in front of me. That's why I'm asking.
They're all listed on this one page.
Okay, what I have from you then are a list of run-ons also? Do you
yes.
have those?
Mm-hmm. That's the list.
But I mean you have those with you as well.
I do not have the run-ons. Those are sent directly to the collector. I just pulled the report from the program.
Okay, well, okay, let me ask that differently. I went through these, and what my question was before is not the county commission required to approve these, and I think that they are, even though we're doing it post-action.
We agree with you.
Yeah.
But what we're doing to do that is just pulling a report and then giving you the numbers. Is that that's similar to what we're doing with the personal property?
Well, that was my question, though, is what you've put in front of us, we should also vote to approve.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
That was it. Thank you. You want to speak to the court orders that are in front of us?
Okay.
Can we call this for today with today's date, Exhibit A?
Sure.
Thank you.
The first group listed on your seat on your sheet are real estate. One is an exemption, and two are based on occupancy, where they have moved into a home.
And just for a second on occupancy, we're treating occupancy the same way we have in the past. The commission had told us that if the assessor brought something to us under occupancy, that we were to process it immediately and then bring it to you to vote on later. So make sure that that process is still okay with the commission, and that's what we'll continue to do.
Well, what this is a real estate run-on, right?
Right.
Tell me the procedure when, under the occupancy law, when a run-on comes before the county commission, and if the county commission approves that, what happens then? Is the taxpayer notified? Do they have any recourse if they disagree with the valuation?
An add-on is done in the tax book, and then a bill is created. And, of course, we still have time because the 2013 tax bills have not gone out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working ahead so that when the book is released, we'll do all those add-ons. We'll notify the collector's office, and she'll send out those bills.
Is there a limit to when one of these run-ons could be done under occupancy?
I believe you kind of set a policy. Do you remember what that policy
October.
Was?
Okay.
Yeah, the policy set before was that it could be done until the 1st of October. After that, they could still be completed. But
it wouldn't go on the books until the following year? Would that increase, or what happens?
No, they could still be completed after that, but the tax bill would need to be created. Their recourse at that point, if they did not agree with the amount, is to come to summer BOE the following year.
So then they can come
in 2014. And that's actually written in the
protest.
So then the commission has the ability to go back
yes,
the prior
year?
Yes, it's
written into the occupancy law.
All right, and they can pay under protest.
They're still going to get a bill, so
I understand.
They should be paying under process to be following the state regulations.
And if you do that and you pay under protest, don't you have like 30 days to remedy that?
They can.
Unless there's an appointment that's set. If we set an appointment with them and notify them that we're going to meet, then it can go past that if she was willing to hold her.
You mean until summer BOE?
Actually, I don't think they go till summer BOE.
It's written into the occupancy.
It's in the law.
Yeah, but they can always pay in protest and go to the circuit court, too.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just...
Yeah, there are protections.
I really am just asking so that I'll know, because
sure.
Sometime I'm going to be braced with that question, and I need to know that answer.
I'm assuming October is okay with the assessor's office. That was our policy in the past, was we stopped doing occupancy add-ons in October and held them to the next year.
Reason was that it's so late in the year that, number one, we're not picking up a lot of benefit and increased taxes. The individual property taxpayer doesn't really have a recourse, I mean, not a good recourse, if they disagree with the assessment that's been given.
And if it were me, I would like to stop occupancy at July.
Well, something but we can I mean, work with Chuck on and
yeah.
see what he wants to do.
That way everybody has an opportunity to come to the Board of Equalization and doesn't have to wait until the following year.
But occupancy is not just, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't just affect the completion of a home, for example. It might be the loss of a home.
Correct.
So a home might burn. And the assessor then, as of a certain date, may say, hey, let's reduce this to property value because there's no home left.
Correct.
So there's a couple things to consider there. But thank you. Would you like to continue?
The second group is just, it's a personal property refund. They mistakenly filed. It wasn't registered in Missouri on that tax year. And then the third group is personal property. This is where we're removing old bills. New run-ons have been created and have already been completed in the collector's office.
Are those run-ons included in this batch
of? Some of them. Some of them are probably in September. And that group only went till the end of August.
Donna, would it be too difficult when we get to a position where it might be easier to do to connect the run-ons to the abatements? In other words, if when we roll something back to zero and we add a run-on.
We could only do it by month,
right? It would have to be manually done.
No. It was just a question, Donna.
We'll do some investigation and see what we can come up with. I mean, it is the only way right now that we have to find add-ons is to do a report and pull that data from one period to another. So that's why it would be difficult to match them back up.
Okay, I understand. Let me ask you about the very first erroneous assessment, which is the National Institute of Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, this was one piece of property that was brought to Board of Equalization.
They did not come in 2013. They came in 2012.
During 2013, the assessor brought this property to Board of Equalization. It was discussed at Board of Equalization.
There was no decision made.
The decision was that we would let it go on to the State Tax Commission. We did not roll it back.
I have no record of that.
Upon
we discussed it.
Upon the evidence of another case that was discussed at the same time of a sports complex, which James had brought the evidence in that it was not exempt, that's when this decision was made.
There wouldn't have been a vote on it then.
He put it on the books. We asked him about this because we'd been questioned about it, and he said because of the Dapperich decision that was made, that they in fact were not exempt and they should be taxed. So we said we would let it stand, and we did.
There wouldn't have been any vote because it,
right.
So we didn't take it off the books. But we discussed it.
The new assessor has the request from the owner, and they have created the court order asking for the exemption.
Surely.
As you're aware, I think their attorney sent letters before I got here to you and to myself at home and then to Danny as well, and gave their argument of why it should not have been put back on the books. I got a copy here. I sat in on the BOE, but I missed that. I thought I sat in on everything, but I may have missed that one. Didn't catch that what you just talked about, asking that the board put it
Actually, it was discussed because.
Okay. Anyway, I missed that if I did hear it. But anyhow, that's here and there. When I got here, I believe it was the first meeting that Mr. Kyle was here. I showed him the letter, had Kenny was there with me on it, and said, what do I do about this? Because, as you understand, the 2012 BOE voted to take it off. James put it back on the book for 2013. And because of the letter I received, I asked Mr. Kyle, what do I do about this? He said, you got to put it back on. He said, I don't agree with the decision, but you got to put it back on. So that's why I did what I did. Mm-hmm. That's all I can give you. As you know, I wasn't part of the decision that brought it to be exempted or unexempted, whichever.
Well, having attended multiple training sessions and being advised by the State Tax Commission, was there's a discussion about exemption, that those decisions should be made by the State Tax Commission for uniformity's sake across the state of Missouri. That would be how I'm inclined to be. That added to what our council has told us that they've been advised by Mr. Titchener regarding this issue and a couple of others would lead me to believe that that's where it should head. But
that was
May I suggest, Chuck, that you give a call to Jason Courtney, who's had a discussion regarding this with Mr. Titchener. Mr. Titchener and Kyle seem to be giving different opinions regarding this particular parcel.
Okay. I did visit with Jason some about it, and he had mentioned, I think it was to what you were speaking to, or y'all spoke to about the Dapperidge case. I didn't know what he was talking about. He said that James said there was some new evidence is the way he got it.
Right.
I assume that's, I didn't know what he was talking about from this morning, I assume that's what he was talking about.
We had got a question about it because it went back on the books after BOE had declared it exempt. But there's a section of the law that says if there is new evidence, if there's new information, then a change can be made. That's not verbatim. But that was the information that James gave us was the Dapperidge decision. I can't even tell you what that was about. I don't know, Chuck. But I know that that Jason Courtney weighed in with us, and he had a discussion with Bart Titchener.
What I remember about it is the property is owned by one individual and then leased to a not-for-profit. And the property owner didn't want to pay the taxes on it. But because they own the property and were leasing it to a not-for-profit, the owner of the property did have to pay taxes on it.
Right.
And that's what I remember.
And that helps me remember. I think that part of what the Dapperidge case was, 501Cs are not, because you have a 501C, you're not exempt. There has to be some other mitigating factor. I agree with you, Donna. Thanks for refreshing my memory.
From my limited experience, these are not simple things to decide. These exemptions, some of them. I mean, if the ball's in your court, the way I understand, I mean, you can do whatever you want to on this one. And, you did say something, Ron, I'm not sure I caught as far as, were you suggesting that all of these exemptions should not, the assessor and
no,
the DOE shouldn't make decisions?
No.
They should go on the state, or what were you saying there?
No, during training for boards of equalization, State Tax Commission said when there are questions about exemptions, you should defer those to the State Tax Commission. That's what we did in the Kanakuk and others, I think, based upon the information they gave us at training. Let them make those decisions for exemptions if we're not sure. Therefore, they'll be uniform across the state. That's what they told us. Because they're making the same decisions for the same type of entities across the state in different counties.
So when you say questions, are you speaking of the assessor and the BOE are different, or the assessor has questions, who Who were they speaking to?
Well, if the assessor comes to us, if you come to us and you have a definite feeling about something and you have the foundation for that, for me, you're going to find me almost all the time going with you and agreeing with you. This issue specifically was put back on the books by an assessor who said he had additional information. We've had correspondence through our counsel with, if I'm not mistaken, either the hearing officer or his BART a lawyer.
He's a hearing officer.
He's also an attorney.
He's also an attorney.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he let us know he thought this would best be in the hands of the tax commission rather than this county commission. So we took a look at his position and thought that would be the best tack for us.
The thing about going to the state tax commission is once it's been heard by the state tax commission,
it's a done deal.
It would be a done deal, and it's not likely that it's going to end up back on the books. And so that takes care of the taxpayer for years in the future, hopefully. Unless, again, there's another lawsuit that ends up changing the law or our view of the law, which occurred in the Dappridge case. Prior to that, all of these were exempt, and I guess we didn't have an issue with it. But then, just like many things, when it goes to court, and two attorneys have different opinion, and the judge makes a decision, then we have to go by that decision.
I'm going to be 100% comfortable with whatever the tax commission tells us to do on this issue, and Kanikek and the others that are going to be in front of them.
I agree with all, except there could be changes happen in a business or in an organization, either way, that they would be exempt or they would not be exempt if they started. So you could still have changes if there were changes.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%, Chuck.
And that's what's taking place here. You're exactly right. If there's changes made, and the changes that were made before were things that were evidence that was presented that caused the former assessor to change his mind upon and put it back on the books. So those things, you're exactly right. If there's something that turns up, that a change in operation, a change in, are we ending on discussion? Because I'm fixing to make a motion on it.
Well, if there are more comments that need to be made, we should.
I mean, I don't have any. It is.
Brandon?
The comment was made that I guess you guys received letters from. This is the first time I've heard. So, I mean, if their attorney didn't give me a letter, I don't know why they didn't. But because I'm a new.
They sent one to the presiding, I guess, and assuming that it would come down. I've got it here if you'd like to look.
Well, I'd like to actually study it, not just be.
I got one of them. I got an email or something from it.
Would you bring that up, Christy? I don't have it. Wait a minute. I don't think I do. No, I don't have it either.
Not now. No. I'm talking about preaching. This was some time ago. It wasn't the last.
You had that letter for some time.
Yeah.
Okay, so it might have been before I was.
No. It was this year. Huh. We made copies, I think, and put them in all of our boxes.
Dated August 27th.
Yeah. I read this one in red.
If I could make one more comment, just pops to mind, is we're having a pretty good discussion here. Is this a place where the attorney or the National Institute should be aware of this discussion? Because I didn't think to tell them that this was part of the order.
I'm not going to do a BOE discussion with them here in County Commission. But
that's what I was going to say. We're not in BOE anymore. BOE would have been the time for them to bring this forward, and then they would have had an opportunity. Once BOE is over, it's my understanding that it's up, completely up to the commission, and we don't even have to hear any individuals. If somebody else has information to the contrary, certainly please bring it forward. But that is my understanding of the process.
Just a thought popped in there.
We can always hear.
Well, you're going to send it to the state tax. If you vote to, you're going to send it to the state tax commission. Is that correct? If you vote to?
They
weren't formally at the BOE,
But I believe that they have the right because it's a... I actually thought that we made this of record in the BOE. We did not.
We did discuss it. We don't make, unless you guys vote on it, we don't make it a record. I mean, I don't believe we even tagged it into the minutes because unless you make a motion on it, we don't keep a record of it. But I do know that it was brought up because we were talking about the Upper Education and Kennecott. And during that discussion, James may have even brought the letter forward. I'm not sure. But it wasn't. There was no formal appointment made by the individuals.
Now, BOE was well before the attorney sent that letter.
So, I mean, I do think because...
And obviously they're aware of it because the attorney did send the letter.
Yeah. Certainly, I think that it should be between the attorneys at this point since there's already been a letter written on it. I don't know that we can...
Well, as soon as I received that letter, it went to our attorneys.
Christy, we were on that list of appeals further.
Okay.
So we've already received our list of appeals from the State Tax Commission, and they were not on that list.
They'll continue to send us notices for us.
So, give me a little more education here. So, they were exempt in 2012. James put them back on for 2013. Would they have got a notice? I mean, they found out somehow, as Ron mentioned.
They should have been sent an impact notice from your office.
When would that have happened? Before they had, before BOE?
Yes.
So, they would have had an opportunity to appeal.
Is it too late to appeal now?
It is to the BOE.
But not to state tax?
But they're not claiming this as a valuation issue or as an exemption under the BOE. They're claiming it as an erroneous assessment under the commission.
What
I was going to say is in the past, the state tax commission, if they believe a county has been in error, they will hear it. It's not just a valuation error. If it's an error done by the county, they have often heard it. Of course, that's up to them.
Well, since their chief hearing officers already weighed in with our counsel, I have a feeling that they certainly will. I mean, that's since he said it was best left in their hands.
It's getting harder and harder to define what tax exempt is.
You say you had a motion?
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion to approve all abatements except for the abatement number 20140387. But approval of all other abatements on this list on Exhibit A.
Second with discussion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve Exhibit A, which is a listing of real estate, personal property refunds, and personal property removing old incorrect bills. Discussion. With the exception of abatement number 20140387. Sorry, I left that out.
So, if we feel that it needs to, if what I'm hearing is right, and we feel that it needs to go on State Tax Commission, will they have the option to do that, or would they have to pay the taxes and protest? And then, I mean, what's the process exactly?
What Donna said is they will hear under different circumstances other than evaluation. They won't hear an evaluation that doesn't go through BOE.
They do have other ways to get this adjusted, especially if they believe it's a county error. But come December 31st, I believe they still have to pay it under protest. I don't know what happens if they don't.
The other hand, they feel that it should not receive an exemption, they're not going to grant one.
They being the
tax commission.
Yeah. My only concern is, you know, I'm hearing that previous assessor had new information, and that's why he put it back on the books. I don't know what that new information is.
What he said during BOE was because of the Dapprich decision, he felt that they were no longer to be considered exempt, which is why they were, in fact, on the books, which is why we had the discussion.
That's why he put Kanakuk back on as well. Right. That was my understanding based on discussions with him. Whether I agree or disagree, that's what I understand was his.
See, and I thought we sent both on, that we'd heard both Kanakuk and this one, but apparently I'm wrong.
We have a record of it if we did, because we would have given an appointment.
I hear you.
And they would have come, and they did not come before you.
So what I'm just remembering is that we had the discussion, but we didn't. Okay. To answer your question, if there's no remedy and you feel that there should be remedy, this could come up again at another time to us. So Chuck would be at liberty to bring it back to the county commission, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Certainly follow up to the state tax commission, see what procedures they're willing to do.
I think that after he's made call, talked with their counsel, that
probably the first step would be for them to talk to the state tax commission and see if they can appeal. If the state tax commission feels that it's out of their jurisdiction, then they would need to pay in protest and go to the circuit court.
But all that given, if anything, we feel uncomfortable and we want to hear this again, we can. So, correct, ladies? Motion on the floor is to approve Exhibit A with the exception of 201-40387. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay?
Nay.
Motion carries.
Can we have a motion to deny the one?
I'm sorry?
You approve the others, leaving out one. Can you make a motion to deny that?
I don't know. Is it necessary?
I think that by doing that, did deny it.
Well, the record says denied it by not approving
it. Okay. And then you have the list of add-ons that I emailed to you.
Yes. Would you explain this so that each commissioner knows exactly what we're looking at here?
Within the tax book program, there is a report that can be pulled. It's done by date range. And so I put in the previous month, which was August, from the 1st until the 31st, and that's all personal property run-ons or add-ons that were completed during that time.
Would include new bills where old bills are being taken out. That would include new bills that were never put on the tax bill in personal property. And so those don't come through our office, but we can access the report that will pull all additions that are made.
Now, let me understand. You said through the month of August?
Correct. In the email I sent to you, I asked if you wanted to go back and approve any from the previous months. After talking to the state auditor's office, when Commissioner Houseman posed the question to me, they did say that it is policy for the commission to approve the run-ons. Most counties will do that by month, so that's how I pulled this report.
And I think we're in line with what they want us to be doing. So
right.
I'm tickled for us to start that process. You know, the reason that, just for the public's edification, that this change was made is because it's terribly difficult for a taxpayer to come in, been assessed for the wrong vehicle, be there that day, and it might be that's the last day to get their license, and have to wait on the county commission the following week to approve a new runoff or to approve the abatement. So the process was implemented within this county to move forward. But what the auditor sense is, even though we're post-approving what those run-ons are, we need to be doing them. So, and I think we're up to snuff now with what they want by doing this.
Okay.
And I appreciate you ladies doing that. If we could call what they have in front of us, this listing of add-ons as Exhibit B with today's date, and call it run-ons. Would there be a motion to approve Exhibit B run-ons as presented by the clerk's office?
Move to approve Exhibit B, dated 9/30/13, run-ons.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Exhibit B, dated 9/30/13, run-ons. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Would you like me to pull a report to approve run-ons from previously meeting from January 1st until...
I think that when the state auditor asks us this question at their exit, audit exit, we're going to be able to say that we've implemented this and we're moving forward.
Okay.
And they're going to be happy with that.
All right. Thank
appreciate
you,
it gentlemen. Very much, ladies. That's my feeling. You guys want them to go back and... pull.
Thank you.
Thank you. Custodian of records / PSR. I am sorry, young lady. We're going to get to you. Hello again, Donna.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me bring this up. Previous meeting minutes.
Move to approve minutes from 9/9 and 9/19.
With corrections.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve previous minutes dated 9/9 and 9/19 with corrections. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Thank you, Brandon, for pointing that out. Custodian of records / PSR. We have... individuals that have questioned the county's policy in securing copies or information within the courthouse. All of it falls under the Sunshine Law, pursuant to Section 610.028, Subsection 2 and others. But within the current policy that we have, we are, at least in my opinion, there are a couple of things that we can address. First, County Commission has the ability to appoint a county custodian. The County Commission of the past has appointed the county clerk to provide the services that are required statutorily of the custodian of records. I don't have that down for us to do today, but we could because we certainly have it listed in the agenda. But because the prior county commissioner is on there, I think that we need to have a new form approved that would be signed by the three existing county commissioners. There's a couple of things that are on the form, Donna, and we were going to have this discussion last week. You had requested, because you were at a meeting, that we wait till you could be here, which is what we have done.
Thank you.
My thoughts are pretty simple on this. I would like to see us have a provision that is added that it gives the elected official and the office holders within the court, the elected officials and department heads within the courthouse, the ability to provide those that information that they should be providing for free, at least in my opinion. And that we re-examine that portion of our policy that speaks to a department and the average cost of the employee within that department when we're doing research for items that take 2 or 3 days research or whatever. I'm just using as an example. And that maybe we cap that at a certain dollar amount so that it is, we don't have to calculate it. We can still calculate it for the offices, but that there's a maximum to charge. In a couple of departments where there's only the department head, salary's higher, there's no clerk to do the work, and therefore we're going to be charging somebody a tremendous amount of money. I think that maybe we should, hate using the term eat it, but we should provide it at less amount than what we have provided for within this policy. And
I don't have a problem with that. However, that is statutory. Under Chapter 610, it says to average the rate of the employees in office. On the research part?
Yes.
To average the rate of the employees, and then that's the rate that you charge for the research to go and locate that document. To actually copy that document, it should be the rate of the lowest employee. But I don't, as long as your attorney agrees with it, I like your idea on the keeping that charge down. But you're correct. If we have the IT department go and do work, it's going to cost us more because they are more professional and are paid at a higher rate than some of the other offices. But also, they're the only ones that can pull certain data.
Ron, I would make a recommendation that we rewrite this policy.
Okay. Can I mention something first?
Go ahead.
Here's, Donna, where I drew where I thought we should cap it, because our interpretation is a little different. Fees for copying public records, except those records restricted under Section 32.091, shall not exceed 10 cents per page for a paper copy, not larger than 9 by 14 inches, with the hourly fee for duplicating time not to exceed the hourly rate of pay for clerical staff of the public governing body. So
I agree 100% with exactly what you said, but you said for copying, not for research. There's a separate statute for research.
Well, if you'll help me by giving me a separate statute, it addresses it here.
Brandon, can you look
at it? It says, based on the scope of the request, the public governing body shall produce the copies using employees of the body that result in the lowest amount of charges for search, research, and duplication time. I guess one would have to have a definition of what the body is. Is the body the county? Is the body the individual department? Is the body...
That's a good question. Because each office has for instance, if there's a request from another elected official and they want to provide it and charge their rates in their office, as long as they're meeting the statute, I don't have any control over that. Only the documents that are coming for the commission, only documents that the commission has made a decision on or will make a decision on are documents that run through my office. Now, like I said before, I do have the cooperation of the auditor's office and the treasurer's office, and they ask me to do the work, or they have in the past asked me to do the work for them as far as calculating charges and collecting the fees. But, for instance, for the assessor, the collector, they usually do their own.
Well, we also have within the courthouse for example, the county recorder's office, there are certain fees that are set by state, and they have to go along with those. And I think that we should have that within our policy, and we should note those exceptions.
Excellent.
And my goal is that we should charge the public the very least amount that we possibly can. And if, in fact, we can charge something less than what that average employee rate is within that department, I would like to do that. And if, for example, somebody comes to my office and wants a copy of the agenda, I don't want to charge them a dime for it. I want to give them a copy of the agenda. And I know that you may have something in your office, or somebody else may have something that's educational that we should be able to hand out without charging the public for that. I believe that should be, at least in part, what our responsibilities are within the courthouse. And Dan, you started to say that I interrupted you. That we should rewrite
this policy and at that point vote upon it.
The three of us
implemented because it has all three previous commissioners on it. So
part of what I'd like to have included in that is the email policy. Right now, when I get a request for emails, my unwritten policy is to contact our attorney, make her aware of the fact, then I notify the IT department to pull those records based on the request. They go to our attorney to be reviewed to make sure that there isn't any litigation involved in those emails. I never look at the emails, and that's the way I'd like to keep it, where my staff does not look at them. We do get a copy of them. We've been asked to maintain those by our attorney in case in the future there is some litigation regarding the emails. So then we are maintaining a copy of the email or the disk of emails that's being sent to the requester. So I would like some kind of a written policy on how you want the emails handled. But the unwritten policy has been that I was directed to do was to notify our attorney, that being Pat Keck, immediately, let her know of the request. Then I notify the IT department. And the disk is created and then sent to our attorney. And they have their own reasons for that, and you might want to discuss that.
Well, the reason we did that before, wasn't it because of litigation or threatened litigation?
Threatened litigation. Also, there was a determination that personal emails from one individual to another are not considered public records. And so those all had to be pulled out. So That was what I remember of that discussion.
Further discussion? Anything else?
So are you going to have a work session to put this together?
Yeah, so this gives us the latitude to start on that. And
okay. I'll see if I can find you some more definite, maybe Attorney General's opinions on other policies and see if I can get that pulled together for you.
I'd sort of like to see what two or three other first-class counties have drafted. If you want to ask them, that'd be great.
I can do that.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Tammy, could you join us? I asked that this issue be placed on the ballot because we had a request to put what I believe to be as an educational piece on our website, right?
We requested that it
or send it out to staff.
The county newsletter.
The reason that I ask for it to come to you all, number one, is because I can't make the decision by myself. Number two, I want to make sure that you all don't perceive this as being a piece that is stating vote for this issue or vote against this issue, because we cannot expend taxpayer dollars in doing that. We can, however, provide educational pieces. I say we. This is not being provided by us. It's coming through the 911 board.
Correct.
Request is to send it out to the personnel via email.
Within the county newsletter that HR sends out.
Within the newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something also that would be on the website?
If you would approve that, that's what we would like to do. We feel like this has been pulled together from a lot of the consultants' information and our advisory board meetings. And so it's informational only. We are very cautious not to say vote yes, vote no.
You looked at this, Donna?
So that's what we would like to do. But we wanted to make sure that it met within your guidelines.
If you'll give us just a few minutes,
absolutely,
the commissioners are going to read down. That's Donna's still reading.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's also educational. It's true. I mean, it's a fact.
Which part? The top part? Or
large portion will be paid for by Taney County's visiting tourists.
Okay, Donna.
The portion that talks about being paid by tourists. It's the part that I think should be taken out. It implies that it's not going to affect them.
So are you drafting another piece? Is that what you're offering to do? I was just curious.
No, it's a joke. There's only two sides to a text.
Well, there's already a lot of misinformation, a lot of confusing information out on this particular issue. I think the further distance that the county commission can stay from this issue, the better for the understanding of the people to hash this out. Things have been stated that I don't even have an idea about. One thing that would be confusing to it says land building loan payment. It doesn't have a maximum of what that is. There are some people with very much a concern about where they're going to put this. You know, for the meetings that I attended had a couple of different options. And so that's where I'm at with this, Ron. I'd rather that we could stay a little further away from this. I don't know whether this is a...
Is your concern that if we send this out through our, which system? Through our newsletter email system, it would give the appearance of an endorsement from
us? Is that what you're...
From the county commission, yes.
What are your thoughts, Brandon?
Donna?
I was just going to say, when I put issues on the internet, all I put is the actual ballot language. Even if it's coming from the state, that's all we list, is the actual ballot language on the website. That way, we are completely impartial.
Well, we as a commission have, and I think, although it's really not out to the public, but we stepped away from all the stakeholder meetings towards the end of the meeting sessions, and we met a considerable amount of times trying to find a solution. But when it came down to what that actual solution was going to be, the decision was made by the other stakeholders that are involved along with the 911 board, and the county commission did not attend, in part because we didn't want it to be perceived that this was an issue that was forthcoming from the commission. While I would say that all of the stakeholders really worked well together, and there were a lot of issues that had to be addressed, certainly the biggest was the combination of the dispatch centers and trying to consolidate them, not the combination. And I think everyone worked well together. This might, again, give the appearance that we're stepping back in.
I don't want our involvement or non-involvement to be construed as either for it or against it. So I don't think... As in this position, as commission and commissioners, I don't feel that it's our. I just don't think we should do that.
Okay.
Again, I don't want it to be construed as either for or against it either, though.
Understand.
I think our role in this is to leave it up to the voters, and so our role is to put it on the ballot, which is what's been done. Again, to leave it up to the voters for them to decide. That's just my opinion.
A question and answer system that was put on the web might be a good resource. If somebody has a question, that question could be put up on our website with a response, very specific response.
In the website, is there not a button or an area where you go to? It's a separate department, 911. You go there, and there's a plethora of information.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I know the media has already had some stuff out. That would be the safest ways to have media do something for us.
We're having regular presentations from the advisory board. The board members are going out and doing presentations throughout the county to any organization who will listen. So that is out there. And this is the handout that they use at those presentations. And then they also have a PowerPoint that they put on at the same time.
Maybe we can find a better way to distribute this. Is that all right?
That's perfectly fine. We just wanted to make sure that everything was okayed by you all, and we completely understand the decision or whichever decision you make.
I agree with Brandon on this. I hate to say that, but I do.
Sorry.
Well, we're not, obviously neither one of you are making a statement that's negative to the cause of what is here. It's just that it's the perception of where the county's at. We have to be very careful about that legally. So we'll ask you to find another means to.
Absolutely. the advisory board will still hand them out, and that would be fine.
Or mail them.
There is a sample ballot on the county clerk's webpage from the county website.
Is this the only issue that's on the November ballot, Donna? That is?
Yeah. So there is a sample ballot out there.
We always put the sample ballots out on the web.
Did we consolidate precincts? Or we...
No.
No?
What
were you going to say? My chair is slowly...
There might be a couple of three questions that I would like to ask you after the meeting, just as an individual, the things that I've heard. Mm-hmm. So...
One thing that we want to make sure is that everybody knows that the location is not even being, I mean, it's out there, it's being looked into, but the location is not something that we're pushing for right now. It's getting it passed is what the board wants to see first, so.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Hayes? You have waited long but patiently for us. Would you join us?
Don, I'd like for you to stay for just as soon as we get through with Randy. I've got a question for you.
I'm not for the rest of the week. Just
kidding. Oh, all right.
Sir, we have in front of us an intergovernmental agreement with Boone County, Arkansas. This government will do what, Randy? Will you?
Basically, Boone County, Arkansas department's going to maintain a road known as Horseshoe Bend for us, and we're going to maintain a road at the end of Jones called Eagle Point, or Bald Eagle Point, I believe is the name of it in the agreement. This is a cost-saving idea to keep from having to travel such a great distance to get to these two portions of road. They have to come all the way up, circle around through our county to get to this road, and we have to do the same thing to even get to that road. And they're going to maintain just the current road surface as it is.
So it allows them better access. It's easier access. They can come from their roads directly across the state line, take care of our roads, whereas we'd have to build a bridge to get to it if we didn't circle a long way around, and vice versa. So
basically, they're currently maintaining Horseshoe Bend anyway. They're just stopping at the state line, or they have been. I think we've been maintaining this road. I think everything in the past has just been verbal.
This need to be read.
I'm sorry?
Does this need to be read out?
Read out loud?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think it does. I just make sure.
There's a... This came as a proposal from two or three other counties also that have the same situation to where we have long drives to maintain. And so that in itself, I'm going to make a motion that we approve this agreement between Taney County and Boone County intergovernmental agreement on the maintenance of county roads.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve an intergovernmental agreement by and between Taney County and Boone County, Arkansas regarding the maintenance of roads. Let me note for the record that this is a one-year agreement. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. The motion carries.
Just a second. Just a question. I don't know whether we can do it or not. I've got another issue, Ron, that concludes the agenda. But I've got something, I don't know whether it would classify as an emergency situation or whether we I got an email last week from the city of Hollister on the flood transfer station exemption that we have for those victims.
Do we need to make a motion to go into emergency? Or because
well, that's what I'm going to ask her, is do we need to, before we take any action on this, do we, because it's already in effect, it goes out of, it's already out of effect, starting, I think, today or tomorrow, and they want to make an extension on it. So we've got, we're going to have people showing up at this, at the transfer station with no...
To take care of it.
And today's the deadline?
Actually, it's passed, isn't it?
I'd make a motion to go on emergency amendment to your agenda. Do you consider this as an emergency?
It needs to be handled, yes.
It needs to be handled.
It's not an emergency.
Well, do you want to... Here's my problem with it. Is this could be a week later that there are going to be people showing up at the transfer station? It should be brought before the county committee.
Make a motion to go into emergency session for the purpose of addressing an issue that is time sensitive. Do you make that motion?
I'm so moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded that we go into emergency session to discuss an issue that is time sensitive. Dan?
I make a motion that we extend the transfer station till to be open with the vouchers for the flood until October the 21st, which is requested by the city of Hollister and their residents or anyone affected by the flood.
And you want to review this possibly on the 15th? But we have a Thursday or something in there?
The reason for the 21st is that's when the city is no longer going to have dumpsters down there. And there's still a few. We're in correspondence, or I'm in correspondence with City of Hollister.
I let this get by me. I should have got it on the agenda.
So your motion is an extension of the existing agreement, which provides a waiver to individuals utilizing the transfer station for storm debris from the recent flooding.
Yes.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. I don't see that we have anything else on the agenda. Would there be a motion to adjourn? Oh, let me announce that there will not be a meeting this Thursday. The commission will, the next meeting will be on Monday next week.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.